We're celebrating the baptism of the Lord, and this is the last day of the Christmas season. So tomorrow, if you're at Mass, you probably will find the nativity scene is gone, and the priest might be in green if he's celebrating Monday of the first week in ordinary time. But if you think for a moment about what we're talking about, what the church is teaching at Mass today, there's something very puzzling about the baptism of the Lord. In fact, John the Baptist himself must have been quite surprised, probably stunned, that Jesus would get in line with a bunch of sinners to receive his baptism. And seemingly all of Palestine had flocked to hear the preaching of Jesus, who was going to announce the advent of the kingdom of God. And they had come also themselves to submit themselves to John's baptism, which was a sign that called everyone to conversion from sin. As far as we know, this rite of baptism, it certainly pre-existed the birth of Jesus, maybe by a few generations, and was a rite of repentance, of renunciation of sin. And although it is called baptism, this rite really was certainly not the sacramental baptism which the church celebrates today. In fact, it's by his death and his resurrection that Jesus, at that point, institutes the sacraments and brings about the birth of the church. So John's baptism, as good as it was, and it was a very beautiful rite, it was a penitential act. It was a gesture, if you will, that invited people to humility before God. It invited them to a new beginning. And plunging into the water, the penitent would acknowledge publicly having sinned. The penitent would beg God in the waters to purify him or her of their sins. And then the person was sent forth with encouragement to change their erroneous behavior. So when John sees Jesus in line with the others, he, of course, would be stunned. John has recognized Jesus as the Messiah, as the Holy One who is without sin. And in the midst of all this confusion, we know that John asks Jesus actually to baptize him. But Jesus tells him not to resist, to agree to carry out the act, to do what is proper. And in one of the gospel passages, Jesus says, he asked John to baptize him to fulfill all justice, which is a reference to Jesus' obedience to God the Father in allowing himself to receive this kind of baptism. So Jesus' baptism reveals a lot to us, especially the baptism reveals to us who Jesus is. He is the Son of God, true God like the Father. It is he who humbled himself to become one of us, he who became man and agreed to humble himself to the point of death on the cross. Jesus' baptism, this rite which we recall today, it fits into a logic of humility. It's the gesture of one who wants to be like us in everything except sin, and so he gets in line with the sinners. He who is without sin lets himself be treated as a sinner. His humility is determined by a desire to establish full community with you and me, by his desire to achieve true and entire solidarity with us and with our condition. In his gesture, even anticipates the cross by which he accepts death for the remission of our sins. It's in consideration of Jesus' act of love for God our Father and for us that the Spirit of God manifests himself as a dove and then descends upon him with a voice from above which attests that Jesus is obedient to the Father in all things and that this obedience is an expression of the love which unites Father and Son. God the Father, we hear, literally delights in his Son, seeing in the action of his Son his desire to follow his will in everything. And remember, I mention it all the time, that's a key reality of Jesus' existence. His mission here on earth, his entire mission on earth, was at every moment to follow the will of God the Father. That's who he was, the one who, in the entirety of his being, always followed the will of God the Father. I like the hymn that we started out with today, We Three Kings, because we're taken back to the Feast of the Epiphany last Sunday. But this whole week is really an epiphany, and today is an epiphany. Remember, an epiphany is a manifestation of God. And we have here in this feast explicitly the manifestation of the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, if you've ever watched EWTN on this feast of the baptism of the Lord, and I actually myself happened to be in the kitchen, the rectory kitchen, at around 3:30 this morning, and I turned on the television, and there was the Holy Father giving his homily at Mass. But you probably know that our Holy Father traditionally celebrates the Mass for this feast in the Sistine Chapel. And the Pope himself, this morning he baptized 20 children. And in case you do not often attend Catholic baptism, where the priest or the deacon may give a short homily, I just want to share with you some of what our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, in recent years has had to say on this feast to parents and godparents. And this is basically the words of the Holy Father. Baptism, says our Holy Father, and again we're talking now about the sacrament of baptism, inserts the children directly into the reciprocal exchange of love that exists in God, that exists between Father and Son and Holy Spirit. So the children, spiritually, are inserted into that reality. And by pouring water on them, the love of God is literally poured out upon them. They're inundated with his grace. They're inundated with his gifts. And by being bathed in the water, the children are inserted, as we said, into the life, especially of Jesus Christ himself, who died on the cross to free us from sin and rising conquered death. So spiritually, immersed in his death and resurrection, these newly baptized children are freed from original sin. Of course, not a sin that they themselves committed, original sin in the sense of heaven having been blocked to them. But with all this grace poured on them and being inserted into the life of Jesus Christ, heaven at that moment is open to them. And the life of grace begins in them, the very life of the risen Jesus. So they're at every moment in this life of grace, sharing the life of Jesus Christ. It's by his grace, by the gift of God, that we believe in God, that we know of his love by which he wants to save us. He wants to save every single person, to deliver all of us from evil. And these children are baptized. Why does it happen? Well, they're baptized because of the parents and godparents who themselves have asked the church to accept the children. They're asking because they themselves, the parents and godparents, have received God's gift of grace, and they want that gift of grace passed on to their children. In receiving baptism, the children are granted an indelible spiritual seal. It's a character, to use the word of the theologians, a permanent character, a reality that cannot go away, that marks forever their belonging to the Lord and makes them living members of his mystical body, which is the church. I often mention that at funerals, maybe almost every funeral, I remind that, in fact, it was at a baptism that the person who is just deceased was claimed by the Lord. That person belonged to the Lord from the moment of baptism. But becoming part of the people of God, the church, the children then essentially are launched on a path of holiness and conformity to Jesus Christ. And the reality that they receive at baptism, we can say, is like a seed of a splendid tree which must be made to grow. So at baptism, they receive the seed. And certainly as they grow older, it's hard to say at what age. I think with every child, it's a little bit different. It may happen at a number of different stages. But there will be a need on their part for a free and conscious adherence to this faith and love, which has been given to them as a seed at baptism. We think of it often happening, certainly, hopefully, by the time they're confirmed. It might happen at a much younger age. It might happen at some point after their confirmation. But they'll have to make their own free and conscious adherence to this faith, which was the gift to them through the work of their parents and godparents. And that's why it's absolutely essential after baptism that they are educated in the faith, that they are instructed according to the wisdom of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church, so that the seeds of faith that they receive in baptism can grow, and so that they have the possibility of reaching full Christian maturity. I guess I would say that none of us can really hope to achieve the level of Christian maturity where we ought to be until maybe by the end of our lives. It's something that has to continue to develop in us. So the church shares with the parents and grandparents or godparents the responsibility for accompanying the children on this path of growth. And it's a path, again, that never ends. Now, the collaboration between the Christian community and the family is essential. At a time, says our Holy Father, when the institution of the family is threatened from many sides and finds itself faced with so many difficulties in its mission to teach the faith. The Holy Father says that the disappearance of stable cultural references and the rapid transformation of society, remember he's talking about society in the whole world, but we see it obviously clearly in the United States. But all this rapid transformation of society makes the faith education of children today truly difficult. And the Holy Father exhorts parishes to strive to support families in this project. But we remember that the primary responsibility is the mothers and fathers. They have the primary responsibility for the faith education of their children. Every family absolutely must be, in reality, a domestic church in the work of passing on the faith. And we know that one of the most terrible things a mom and dad can do to their children would be to send them to a Catholic school, send them to a religious education program, but basically have an empty spiritual life at home. I mean, what's the child to think? And we know that that's the reality today, that they expect, some parents expect somebody else to take care of the religious education of their children. This morning, I happened to, just before Mass, see the text of what the Holy Father said today. And if I just want to pick up this one sentence from what our Holy Father told the parents and godparents in his Mass this morning. It is not always easy. let's see if I can read my writing. Well, I thought I understood it when I wrote this down. It's not always easy, basically, to live your faith uncompromisingly, to show your beliefs, especially in the context in which we live, in a society that often considers unfashionable those who live out their faith in Jesus Christ. It's not easy, and our Holy Father knows that as well as anyone. Our Holy Father reminds both parents and godparents of the importance of their believing strongly in the presence and in the action of the Holy Spirit. They should call upon the Holy Spirit and welcome him in prayer and in the sacraments. The Holy Spirit, in fact, is the one who enlightens the mind, who makes the heart of the educator burn, so that he or she knows how to transmit the knowledge and the love of Christ. Now, obviously, everyone in the church, everyone in the Christian community has, at least indirectly, a role in the education of the young people. their education and love for Christ. But parents and godparents, prayer is the first condition for educating, because in praying, we create the disposition in ourselves of letting God have the initiative, of entrusting our children to Him, who knows them before we do, to the God who, better than us, knows perfectly what the true good is for them. The sacraments, and this is the Holy Father again, especially Eucharist and penance, permit us to educate our children in union with Jesus Christ, in communion with Him, and continually renewed by His forgiveness. So prayer and the sacraments, says Pope Benedict, obtain that light for all of us who in any way are involved in the education of children, a light that allows us to be, and these are the words of the Holy Father, allows us to be both tender and strong, kind and firm, to be silent and to speak when the time is right, to rebuke and to correct always injustice. And so we pray at this Mass, on this feast of the baptism of the Lord, that the Holy Spirit might descend on all of us, on especially on our parents and godparents, on our families, on our children, that they be consecrated in the image of Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit accompany them on their journey of this life, becoming, enabling them to become true Christians, faithful and joyful witnesses of God's love for them.